Well, that was pretty amazing. You did all that work without any funding, so just a lot of coffee, I'm sure, and pizza. With coffee and pizza, all things are possible. Our next speaker is Kaya Gallagher, who is the president of the Center of Research Strategies, a multidisciplinary research and evaluation company based in Denver, Colorado. CRS is a mission-driven company founded to promote the use of sound information as a basis for program development, implementation, and improvement. Kaya served as the co-principal investigator for the Colorado Trust's Health Professions Initiative, a four-year evaluation project. She has a PhD in sociology and over 30 years of research experience in the fields of health, education, and human services.
Thank you, Helena. I am Kaya Gallagher, and with 30 years of experience, you can see why I'm concerned about the aging workforce here. I actually am representing Tanya Beer and Laurel Petralia, also part of this project. They are funders from the Colorado Trust. There were other representatives from the Center for Research Strategies involved with this project, including Kathy Savella Tyson, Kim Riley, Carrie Witkin, Suzanne White, and Paul Nutting. And none of us have any relationships to disclose. My purpose this morning is threefold. In the next 17 minutes, I'm going to describe a comprehensive workforce strategy that we implemented in Colorado over the past 3 years. As part of this health professions initiative, there was a lot of information about what works and what helps to recruit, retain, and train health workers. And finally, I'm going to describe what Colorado is currently doing in terms of growing its workforce, its healthcare workforce. I should mention at the start that I'm really talking generally about the healthcare workforce, but many of the lessons that I'm going to be talking about apply equally to growing a public health workforce. The Colorado Trust is a health-oriented grant-making foundation that was founded in 1965. And over three decades it's been in place, they funded over 700 nonprofit organizations that are focused on improving health and well-being. Currently, the trust has refocused and it has as its main priority improving access to health care. And in that regard, there is no bigger looming problem than shortages in health care workers. I think we can all look at this situation as a perfect storm. The baby boomer population has really served as the backbone of the healthcare workforce. And not only as they retire, will there be many vacancies to fill, but you can imagine the generations as they move forward will be demanding more healthcare. So there are a lot of jobs to be filled, a lot of new workers to recruit. And in particular, we have shortages, this is national information, among physicians, nurses, physical therapists, physician assistants, and occupational therapists. We know in Colorado that roughly 17% of our healthcare workers will retire over the next 10 years, and that's just very concerning. I think anybody that looks into the future has to be concerned about whether there will be enough workers to really provide the health care that we're expecting. And I should mention that actually this problem is true across many occupations. It's not unique to health care. I think you've probably heard that the education field is concerned, the engineering field is concerned, and I think part of it is just the nature of the demographic shift. In terms of the public health workforce, the average age of state public health workers is now 46.6 years, which means that half of the public health workforce is inching towards retirement. And that's true for the federal workforce as well. And I think the main concern we have is not only the aging of the workforce, but the fact that with federal and state budget cuts, there's some concerns about whether and how the vacancies will be filled as workers retire. So, Health Professions Initiative. This was a project that was started in 2005 in Colorado. It involved an expenditure of roughly $10 million. There were 22 grantees that were funded. They were very, very diverse. They were training programs. There were hospitals. They were state-level associations. There were nursing schools. They looked across the broadest field of healthcare workers and included primary care, dental health, pharmacy, allied health, mental health, a wide range of healthcare workers, and the purpose really was to increase the workforce. So from an evaluation point of view, we actually had two goals. One was to answer the question, did the workforce increase? And the second question essentially is why and how. There were a wide array of evaluation methods that we used, and I'll focus in particular on the participant tracking, because as you could see, that one of our main goals was really to actually figure out how many students benefited in some way from the initiative. And the results were that we had roughly 3,000 health profession students that advanced their careers in some way as a result of the initiative. And I use those terms because the way the funding was distributed, it either directly went to the students in terms of scholarships or more indirectly expanded the array of training opportunities that were available. These health professionals were trained across 27 separate healthcare disciplines, so it was very broad in its reach. Over three-quarters of the programs provided training in rural settings or for providers who would work in rural community settings, and over half of the students, 51%, grew up in rural underserved areas, and at the time that we surveyed them, about a third intended to work in a rural area in at some time in the future, which is really important for a state like Colorado, which has, as you may know, the Front Range in Denver, but the rest of the state is primarily rural. One of the other questions, aside from the immediate impact of the training programs, was whether these efforts would continue. Did we actually grow the capacity of our health training programs? I'm happy to report that all the programs actually are going to continue their efforts over the next 3 years. We also expect that the training capacity will increase by roughly 1,600 nurses and an additional 2,000 allied health professionals. So not only did we have an immediate impact in the first 3 years of the initiative, but now moving forward, that capacity will continue to grow. The Health Professions Initiative resulted in expanded training locations and, in particular, flexible training opportunities. And what happened was that as the training programs adapted to student needs, they included a broad array of students, many returning back to school. The average age of the students in this participating in this initiative was 32. So we had a lot of nurses coming back to get a more advanced training, and more mature students coming back into the healthcare field. And that included students from rural areas, as I mentioned before, as well as those from diverse backgrounds. So this is our health professions comprehensive workforce development model. In the next 5 minutes, there's just a fair amount that I can actually communicate. We do have a report in the back that it's available. It's the Health Professions Workforce Mid-Initiative Report that describes all the variety of strategies that the grantees implemented as part of this model. And we also have a handout in the back, so any of the points I'm making are available to you. I apologize in advance because in the effort to be green, I sort of squeezed 6 slides onto a piece of paper, so I have trouble reading it. Let me start by actually focusing on the first of the 3 components of this workforce model, and these are our student-level strategies. The important thing here was that the grantees were very proactive. The assumption wasn't that, well, we'll just have a training program and they will come. It was, let's really try to make sure that we're recruiting students, letting them know about healthcare careers, marketing health professions opportunities, starting actually in elementary schools with working with career counselors, having career fairs, promoting improvements in the teaching of math and science, having medical track programs in high schools, gateway programs into the health field. There were a lot of really interesting innovations where community colleges enabled high school students to get dual credits so they could begin the prerequisites for healthcare training. And I think the idea was actually to create a pipeline, to actually start to draw students into the healthcare careers, but not just assume they'll find these opportunities, but really market the opportunities. The educational training programs had a lot of innovations as well, and part of what we're finding is that we have a limited budget. It's not realistic to expect in our state, and probably many other states, that the legislature will magically come up with more money. So the schools experimented with ways to expand capacity that enable them to reach more students with the resources they currently have. And that included implementing distance learning programs, using simulation. There are a lot of opportunities in nursing in particular to have mannequins that serve as a clinical training, to help clinical training. There were programs to recruit clinical scholars, which expanded the faculty of the nursing schools. Clinical training placements were coordinated. We expanded our training sites so that they were more geographically diverse. And then we also had multidisciplinary training experiences for our students. A really interesting part of this initiative were the community partnerships that evolved. And I think what is true that the ultimate stakeholders for whom healthcare workers are being trained are the healthcare employers in the community settings. And so in this initiative, many of the community partners became actively engaged at the front end in terms of working with the schools. And part of what they did were grow your own strategies, where some of the hospitals in rural settings offered scholarships and sponsored their workforce, the current workforce, to actually advance their training skills, in particular in the nursing field. We have dramatic stories of hospitals actually eliminating vacancies, eliminating the use of temporary nurses because they were able to grow their own by investing in their current workforce. And I think that's a particularly effective strategy in rural settings, where many of the hospitals had difficulty recruiting people to come and live in some of these community areas. By growing their own, investing in their own residents, they were very able to address some of their recruitment and retention challenges. So the takeaway messages are that many stakeholders need to collaborate to ensure that there are going to be enough health professionals. In Colorado in particular, we have a focus on investing early, widely, and recruiting heavily. The job isn't done. You'd think after $10 million I could report immediate victory, but there's much more to be accomplished. The Colorado Trust has a collaborative with over 50 stakeholders that will continue to work over the next 3 years. We know across the country, if you look on the web, 45 states have some type of workforce planning underway currently. And there's really no single recipe. There's no, in fact, there is no one thing that needs to be done. If there's anything we've learned, that this, we really need to have multiple strategies to invest in the future. And the principles, I think, of investment apply here. We have to begin now, invest appropriately, and ensure that many are involved. And I would imagine that similar efforts would apply to growing the public health workforce as well. Thank you.